Welcome to Sentinel Watch, where we look at life through a spiritual lens. I'm Jenny Sawyer. 5 years ago, I had the pleasure and privilege of hosting a series called Get to Know God, The Omnis. I learned a lot then, but the learning didn't stop with those podcasts. And I found out that that was also true for my guests, Deborah Hipsch and Amy Richmond, both Christian Science practitioners and teachers. So here we are again in the studio to talk about those omnis. Ladies, it's great to have you here.
Oh, I'm so happy to be back with you both.
I'm happy as well.
Well, we're really excited to talk today, once again, about the four omnis: omnipotence, omnipresence, omniscience, and omniaction. And this is going to be an interesting show because the last time we were together, we did four individual podcasts, one on each of these omnis. And today, it's going to be a potpourri. So I was thinking to get started, I know both of you really, really love praying with these different descriptors of God: omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, and omniaction. And maybe we can start by sharing with our listeners why you all think that these descriptors are such an effective way of basing our prayers. Deborah, do you want to chime in with that?
To me, they are the foundation and the exclamation point to my prayers. Mm. I find that after I've been praying a little bit, just having that sealed sense in God's hug, so to speak, that these prayers are all those qualities. They are omnipotent, the only power, the only presence, the only science, the only activity that can possibly go on in God's universe. And that's the universe we're in. So I love working with the omnis. And just recently, I was thinking about the omnis in relationship with the Lord's Prayer, and they're all there. It is just the coolest thing to think through that. And along with the spiritual interpretation of the Lord's Prayer, which we find in Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. But if you look for them, they're there.
For our listeners who are maybe not open in their Bibles right at this moment to the Lord's Prayer, can you give an example of a place where the omnis appear in the Lord's Prayer?
Thy kingdom come. Mrs. Eddy's interpretation of that line is, thy kingdom is come, thou art ever present, which would mean God's omnipresence is expressed. It's just a wonderful thing because see the action of God at work. You see the power. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So it's really fun to see the thread of the omnis as they wind their way through the Lord's Prayer.
I love that. You know, I've never thought about that before, but it's such a great segue into, I think, grounding our conversation in the fact that these words are in the Bible. You know, these are concepts that Mary Baker Eddy explained in detail, but we really can find this golden thread of all of the omnis in the Bible.
Well, here's another example of that, where the prayer, Jesus' prayer, I of mine own self can do nothing. There's a great statement of the omnipotence of God that's available to each one of us.
It's really clear to me that as we're expressing these four omnis, it's only because we're one with God that we're able to do that, just like Jesus. So to me, it's really galvanized my prayers to be thinking about these omnis because it's expanded the way that I pray in really measurable ways. It's made me see that I'm one with intelligence, I'm one with spontaneity, I'm one with beauty. All those things I'm one with because they're attributes of God. And so I express them. And that's helped me as I've prayed for myself and as I've prayed for others.
Amy, just take me through that a little bit more. When you say your oneness with God, what is it about? Because if we're talking about these words that are generally used to describe God, how do you get from there to our oneness with God?
Yeah. Well, as I mentioned in those previous podcasts, I had a range of experiences where I had expressed omniscience or omnipotence, where generally I don't think people think that they express omnipotence, right? This is something new that we've learned in Christian Science, that were really the full reflection of God. And when I realized that, wow, I express these four omnis, it just taught me so much about my oneness with God because I couldn't express them on my own. I didn't have a sense of me being powerful on my own. But when I realized that I was reflecting God's omnipotence, that's when things shifted for me.
Mm. Nice.
You know, while the story that got me on the path of omni prayers was highlighted in the original podcast that we did, the very first one on omnipresence, I had been driving in my car praying when I heard a question from God that, well, it felt so clearly that it was God because I wasn't thinking about it, but it was, so Amy, what does it mean that you express omnipresence? And that question was really a game changer for me because while I knew about God's omnipresence and God's omnipotence, omniscience, omniaction, I really hadn't ever thought about how, as God's spiritual creation, that I would express all of that. I mean, it just seemed like a God thing, not an Amy thing, not a person thing. And now I'm going to tell you a little secret that I quickly had some clear-cut examples of the other omnis where I felt like I had demonstrated to some degree omnipotence and omniscience and omniaction too. So, you know, when I was thinking about omnipresence and looking to the Bible to see examples, you know, there's no better example than Jesus. One instance of that to me is when he was with the disciples in a ship and they were all on one part of the sea and then all of a sudden they were on the shore. Well, that just seemed like such a big experience and not something that I could do, or certainly not anything that I have done. Recently, though, like within the last year, I had an experience that really helped me understand omnipresence better. Mm. And that was that somebody had called me in the practice, in the Christian Science practice. You know, I'm a Christian Science practitioner and people call me with a wide range of problems for me to pray for them. And as I was praying for them, I realized what I really needed to pray about was past trauma, even though the problem that they called about was a physical one. And I remembered that Deborah said in that podcast on omnipresence that she felt that one way to deal with the past was to think about omnipresence, because if omnipresent good was there, how could the bad thing have really happened? And I clearly learned from it because all these years later, I thought about that. And so I remember praying and saying to God, okay, I believe that. I believe that that's true. But how do I know it so well that I can be a witness here to healing for this individual? And what I heard was, you know that I was there because that individual was there. And there's that oneness again. If that individual was there, it was proof that God was there because they're inseparable. And that made it so tangible to me. Like I really understood it. And then I thought, okay, prove it. And immediately I thought of this experience that I had had like 30 years ago where I felt completely traumatized by somebody, by the things that they said to me. And I pictured exactly where we were during that time. And I thought, well, none of that could have ever happened. Because right there, God was there with me. Omnipresent good was there. And the proof was because I was there. And then I thought, well, the proof that God was there was also because that other individual was there. And all the trauma that I had felt in the ensuing years. Now, I'm going to say it wasn't big trauma that I felt. This wasn't something I thought about a lot. But whenever I did, I felt uncomfortable. It wasn't a happy experience. It wasn't a good memory. But in that moment, any kind of residual negative feeling was just completely wiped away. It was a great healing.
That's incredible. Thank you so much for sharing that, Amy. And it really goes to show how practical these ideas are to our lives. When it takes shape in our lives in some way is pretty profound.
As you say, these are practical things about God that when we understand them, it changes our lives for the better.
What about you, Deborah, in the last few years? How have the Omnis taken shape for you?
Well, the most recent one is I've been thinking a lot about artificial intelligence, AI. And I've been thinking a lot about omniscience in connection with it. And omniscience, I know, means all-knowing, but it means all science as well. And so we've seen in the last couple of years, certainly since we've had our conversation 5 years ago, the technology which has allowed AI or artificial intelligence to come forth seems to me to be in the scientific area. So that would come under omniscience. If God is omniscient, then God is in charge of all science. And that would include, I believe, technology. And so I've been thinking a lot about the rise of AI. And I know that it's a subject today which causes concern, but it also offers great promise. And so I looked up the definition in Science and Health that Mrs. Eddy gives to intelligence, because if this is artificial intelligence, I wanted to know what real intelligence was. And I had a look at it and compared it with the AI idea. So Mrs. Eddy says that intelligence is substance. It is self-existent and eternal mind. And she uses a capital M on mind. Well, if God is self-existent, then something artificial cannot be. And I believe AI is dependent on the technology, the people who are technicians and thinkers, but it's not self-existent. Mrs. Eddy also says in that definition that intelligence is that which is never unconscious nor limited. So to me, what she's saying is intelligence is conscious. And I believe AI cannot ever be conscious. Also, AI, I think, would be limited, and intelligence is not limited. So what is this AI that we're seeing? Well, I see it as the moving ahead of thought, the approaching to the true and real sense of intelligence, which is all-knowing, all-wise, all-governing. And when we get to that point in society, we're going to see these problems, these look like they're very big problems with climate and political situations, government, and so on. We're going to see intelligence, true intelligence at work. So it's been interesting to sort of stretch the sense of omniscience to include that. And I also might say that I can see it as a counterfeit, not the real, real thing, but a pretty good facsimile. And a counterfeit, as we know, is ultimately seen as fraudulent or not the real thing. And so I'm excited because I think we are moving toward a better sense, a fuller sense, a truer sense, a real sense of intelligence, which is God expressed.
That's so interesting, Deborah. And I just, I'm going to ask a follow-up question to make sure that I'm fully understanding this. So would you say then that on the one hand, AI kind of gestures toward the possibilities for understanding this idea of all-knowing? You know, it would seem we're moving toward less of a individual, like each individual has their own knowledge base, for example. Okay, now we have something that it seems to be moving more toward in the all-knowing direction. But ultimately, you're saying that in a way, the safeguard on that is the fact that it cannot express this true sense of the all-knowing nature of God. And so that is what is going to maybe restrain it from doing some of the things that I think people are really afraid that AI could do. That because it doesn't have that spiritual, real, divine sense of intelligence behind it.
Well said. Absolutely. Yeah. I don't think we need to be afraid of it. If we can see the elements that are pushing it forward, which is the desire to have a greater information available, greater solutions possible, available to everyone pretty quickly. I think if we can see the promise, then we can see that it is never going to take over. How can something take over God, after all? And if mind is the source of all intelligence, and I believe it is, then this can only approximate but never actually do it, which, yes, it keeps us safe.
What I love about what we're talking about so far is I think it's really showing how Christian Science is so relevant today. You know, I've definitely heard people say, well, you know, Mrs. Eddy discovered Christian Science in the 1800s, and that was a time when there was less technology and less medical advances, and, you know, it was also a more like biblically religious-minded era. And so it was sort of perfect timing. But as we move into an era of just such rapid technological, medical, and other growth and, you know, developments and discoveries, does Christian Science really still have a place? And everything I've heard in this conversation points to just the most expansive opportunities for understanding God in the way that, you know, Christian Science explains God, including all these omnis. And as we do, that just takes all the limitations off of our lives. And in fact, as both of you are pointing out, we can, you could say, sort of far surpass what technology or medical science or anything really claims to offer. So I wonder, you know, Deborah, what else have you been thinking about on this particular topic?
Well, I've been very interested in sort of spiritually exploring the idea of consciousness, because that's what AI, I think, is expressing, a way to be conscious. And I feel that we are, again, moving more toward a sense of consciousness that connects us. And I don't know whether this is a good place to even mention the near-death experiences that people have had, which show that consciousness exists outside of the body. These individuals, when resuscitated or brought back to life, so-called life in the body, they were able to see things that were going on when they were clinically dead, which shows, I think, the nature of consciousness, that we live in consciousness rather than consciousness in us. And that's mind expressing all of us. And as we are able to drop the limitations, which is happening in the technology that we're seeing, the limitations that would say, I think, Jenny, you referred to this, that we have these little brains that we're thinking, we're all these little people, but we're all connected in this wonderful, expansive, infinite sense of consciousness. It's a little bit like the James Webb Telescope. The James Webb Telescope has showed us recently far more than we ever really knew existed. And we've gone from where the Earth was the center of us, everything moved around us, to where the sun was the center, to the sense of universe. I think we're seeing this wonderful thrust of intelligence, mind-based consciousness, moving us forward toward a much bigger, more expansive, more united sense of being. And I see that as a possibility of solving some of these great big problems that seem to be facing us. And I'm encouraged. I'm hopeful.
Say a little bit more about that. So is it the unity, the sort of oneness of mind that you feel is really exciting about that, or what?
Well, mind is infinitely expressed. And so we are the expression of mind. there's just one mind, including all consciousness, the source of all consciousness. Consciousness is not located in a specific spot. Consciousness permeates everything. And as we are able to let go of our limitations to see more clearly and deeply into mind, intelligence, we're able to move forward in a progressive sense that really is capable of resolving the issues that we're seeing today.
Amy, what have you been thinking about in relation to the application of the Omnis to kind of some of the bigger issues?
Well, bigger issues, I'm not sure that I've been thinking quite as expansively as Deborah has, and I'm kind of like excited by that. You know, I like hearing what she's had to say and I want to think more about it. But I have had some experiences that they've been expansive for me. As you were talking, Deborah, it made me think about a little experience that I had a year or so ago. It was about GPS. And, you know, I think all of our lives have been improved by ready access to GPS, and it helps us get where we need to go a lot. But I had placed an order of food to be delivered at my home. And then right after I placed it, I realized, oh, shoot, I had told someone that I would go and help them with something, and I didn't have very much time to do it. I knew that the food delivery person, because I've worked with this restaurant before, they wouldn't leave my food if I weren't at home. So I had this really short window of time to go help this individual. So I hopped in the car and I plugged my phone in and I noticed that my phone was dead. I had their address, but I didn't know how to get there. I had never been to this person's home before. And so I thought, well, if I just start driving, the phone will, you know, charge up and kick into gear. But it didn't. And I thought about turning back and going home, but then I knew that I'd disappoint this person. And I just thought, okay, God, show me. And it was so amazing because I didn't pray about it, but I trusted that that omniscience of God, that God is all-knowing, that I was expressing that, that I would know. And I did know, like I knew when to turn left and when to go forward. And I got there so quickly. And I mean, GPS could not have gotten me there faster, which was really great. But, you know, it was a small experience because, you know, I helped that person, but it didn't change anybody's life. But the thing that I thought was really amazing was that I felt this feeling of what it is to be at one with God. You know, it wasn't like I prayed to God and then I got a message and then I implemented it. I just was one with God and I knew how to get there. And it made me think a lot about how Jesus must have lived, you know, that he just felt that oneness with God all the time. And it was a small little experience, as I said, but, you know, it really showed me something big. It felt really holy, you know? So that was great.
I also think you were expressing omniaction, Amy. I just want to chime in with that.
I think you're right.
Not just omniscience. I have to say, Amy, I know you were saying that that was a small experience, but I thought it was pretty incredible.
Well, I think what I meant by small experience is that, you know, the ramifications where I was able to help somebody with a small thing, I didn't delay the food delivery guy, and I was able to get my meal. So that felt small. But what felt really big was feeling one with God. That did feel big. And, you know, I acknowledge that. Mm-hmm. Another recent experience is recently I was flying somewhere, and as I was settling into my seat, I noticed that the woman next to me was quite ill. She was sneezing and coughing, and she asked the flight attendant for a box of Kleenex. The woman to her left was in front of her husband and baby who was screaming. And I was a little concerned, particularly by the woman next to me who was unwell, because I was flying to get to a place where I was going to give a talk. And I just felt like, oh no, I can't be sick. And right when I thought that, I got this idea, and it was, you are all God expressed. Now, that's something that I've learned from studying these omnis. You're all God expressed. And in that moment, the woman was completely fine. When the flight attendant brought that box of Kleenex, she never once used any of it. She didn't clear her throat or anything. She was fine. The baby also immediately fell asleep and slept the entire flight. And when he woke up, when we landed, he was happy and the parents were happy. Everyone around us was happy. And, you know, it was just one thought. And yet I think it blessed, well, at least that family and the woman next to me and me, you know, I was completely fine. I do think that these ideas are so big and they have huge ramifications, because if I had had to go to the drugstore and get some medication, that takes time. This was instant.
I'm going to just dig a tiny bit deeper into this, Amy, because I think oftentimes our listeners like to understand the how. So from your perspective, what happened in that moment?
That moment where I got that message that we are all God expressed really was built on this understanding that I've had, that Christian Science has given me, that we're the expression, we're the reflection of God, the complete, whole, spiritual reflection of God. And why is that? Well, Spirit is one name for God. It's in the Bible. Mary Baker Eddy uses it. Mary Baker Eddy is the discoverer and founder of Christian Science, and she explains what that means in her book, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures.
Hmm.
Now, I didn't think that through at the moment, but I think that that's what happened.
Hmm. Yeah, I love that, because I, just to introduce a little framework here as we go along, I think as we're thinking about the allness of God, I'm going to quote Deborah back to herself from one of her articles, all really means all. And I know that that sounds like kind of a self-evident statement, but it's really helped me, because I think a lot of times we think of God as all, but there's a subtle, almost unconscious feeling that, yeah, but there are also these other things like disease, like threats of war, like tyranny, age, degradation. I mean, any number of things that would seem to contradict this allness of God. But what I hear us talking about in this conversation, and certainly this is all based on what Christian Science teaches, is when we talk about all, that really does mean all. And that means that, as you were saying, Amy, all based on what God is, which is all good, all love. We could go through all the synonyms of God, life, to point to Deborah's example, consciousness, all is infinite mind and it's infinite manifestation, as Mary Baker Eddy says. So I bring this up just because I think sometimes it's easy to agree with spiritual ideas while still having these latent misconceptions that, yeah, there is omnipotence, God is all power, but yet there still exist in some way these little lower powers. And I think what I hear you talking about, Amy, is, in a way, this practice of Christian Science is giving our consent to the fact that these omnis really are omni.
Right, right.
Well, one of the things that I'm hearing is that is so important, and I'm going to be thinking more about, is that each one of us does express the omnis because we are God created. And I think, Amy, your experience in the plane shows that this is relevant in our daily lives, not just in the big universal thing, but to think that each one of us is the expression of the omnis. It's not like we express them, they express themselves. and we get to witness it. And what a privilege. And look at the results. Amazing.
Yeah, that's great. I really love, Jenny, that you quoted Deborah as saying all means all. And it's something that I've been thinking about lately, and it has to do with omnipresence again. I've been realizing that most, if not all, problems seem to have a basis in the concept of there's either too much of something or not enough of another. And, you know, like, say, a personality issue. Sometimes people say, oh, he's too much, and that's a bad thing, you know? Or somebody else feels, I'm not enough. They don't feel worthy of something. And I've been thinking lately how understanding more about God's omnipresence really shows us that that's really not possible. Because if all means all, if we're expressing the omnipresence of God, and we all are, you know, we can't have too much or too little of any good thing. And we can't lack anything that we need because God is omnipresent. She's all. So there's no way for God to spill over, you know, God's all. And there's no way that God doesn't fill up all space. And so we have to reflect that omnipresence as well.
I love that you mentioned that, Amy. And it takes me back to just this tiny little experience I had a few weeks ago as I was starting to think about this show. I just moved, and, you know, so many things to do when you move. And I had just been literally on my feet for the entire weekend. And I got into bed on Sunday night and my feet just really hurt. And, you know, it would have been easy to just kind of be like, all right, well, I mean, I was on my feet the whole weekend. Like, of course, this is what's happening. But because I'd been thinking about the omnis, I just found myself in this place of really curiosity about, well, okay, but if the omnis are really the deal, then what does that mean in this situation? And it was actually, I have to say, really fun, because I think sometimes when I pray about things, I have more of a feeling of like stress and pressure, like, oh, I have to fix this. But in this case, it was just kind of like, oh, I just want to explore what it means that, for example, okay, omnipresence. What does that mean for my little tiny situation here in my house? And what came to me was similar to what you were talking about, that the presence of God means that there is only the presence of harmony, goodness, peace, comfort. There cannot be any other presence to displace omnipresence, because then it wouldn't be omni, it wouldn't be all. And it was, again, it was just such a simple little idea, but I really felt like, oh, that makes sense. You know, it's kind of like one of those moments, it just clicks for you. And instantly the pain in my feet disappeared and I fell asleep and, you know, never dealt with it again. And so, you know, I just love these moments where when we catch these glimpses of what God is, it opens this window on reality. And yeah, we experience it maybe in what feel like small little ways in our lives, but as I think we've all been talking about, they have really big implications, I think, for the world around us.
Yeah, that's great. I love that.
What about you, Deborah?
Well, I've been thinking a lot about law, about God's law. And God's law is not like a judicial situation or a legal situation in our experience. God's law is that power that runs the universe. I mean, and God's law is all those omnis. And God's law is operating all the time. It's perpetuating the law of good, the law of health, the law of harmony. And so I see law as connected to the omnis, that the law is the deal. It is final. It is absolute. It is supreme. And to go back to the Bible for a minute, Jesus had no regard for what might be called material laws or human laws. He was able to raise the dead and heal the leper instantly, and all the kinds of things that he did. He stilled the storm. I mean, we could all do that. If we saw that God's law is expressed in the peace be still sense of Jesus, what Jesus said to the storm, we would be aligning our consciousness with that universal sense of omnipotence and omnipresence and omniaction and even omniscience, that this sense of allness is relevant here, this very minute. Amy, you proved that. Jenny, you proved that. But I think that for me, understanding that this is law, it is incontrovertible, it is unshakable, it is unchangeable, is just as much law as the very first beginning in Genesis where God said, let there be light. And guess what? There was light. There was no argument about it. It is the fact. And to connect those to the omnis for me in my prayer has been really helpful.
You know, Deborah, as you were talking, I was thinking about that wonderful statement that Mary Baker Eddy has in her book, No and Yes. And this is exactly what you were saying. God's law is in three words. I am all. That's the omnis for you. And this perfect law is ever present to rebuke any claim of another law. Have you had any specific experiences in your life, Deborah, where you've kind of seen that in action?
Well, our dog who suddenly became lame and she couldn't walk at all. And so we felt the kindest thing to do was to take her to a veterinarian. And he examined her and said, oh, I think we have cancer here. And he said, check back with me in a couple of weeks. So started to pray about it, and that God's law of health is omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, and omniactive. There's no other action, no other power. There is nothing that can pull down anything about God's creation. And this dog is a wonderful, beautiful dog that we love dearly. And we just kept to that and took her back to the vet, and the vet took whatever they do, x-ray or whatever picture, imaging they do. And he said, I can't believe this. He said, the bone has rebuilt itself. He showed one x-ray. The bone was simply crumbling away. And then this next one, which is only a couple of weeks later, was the bone had restructured itself, rebuilt. He said, this never happens. He showed his staff. They said, this is really amazing. And then he wanted to know about prayer and about, because I said, I pray, you know, we pray about these things. And he wanted to know about how to do that. And so that to me was a wonderful example. God's law was in place. It couldn't be violated. It couldn't be deteriorated. It couldn't deteriorate the goodness of God. God holds all perfection intact. And that's where we all are right now, always, even though it looks otherwise. And as a result of this healing, this veterinarian, he has since then read Science and Health. He's on his second reading, and he's giving it to friends. He was really touched by the power of God that he saw actually evidenced.
Wow, that's amazing. That's great.
I was thinking this morning about Jesus, and he had to face the crucifixion. And what kept him going? It was the knowledge that God's law supersedes any other law, that God's law of life supersedes any claim of death. And that sense of knowing God gave him the courage to go through with that. He kind of balked a little bit in the Garden of Gethsemane, as we know, but he was so clear about God's presence and God's power that pervades all the time, that he was able to go through that excruciating experience. And we're grateful he did, because he was able to prove without a doubt that life truly is eternal.
Well, before we close, I just want to give both of you an opportunity to say anything in summation that you'd love to leave our listeners with on this topic of the omnis. Amy?
It's been a huge blessing in my life that I've been focused on these omnis and learned a lot more about God. You know, sometimes the lessons seem simple. For instance, the first time I learned that, oh, if God's omnipotent, he's the only power, not just a really big power, but the only one. And then, you know, it keeps developing from there. And these healing experiences that I've had have really shown me the potential. I'm at the very beginning of learning what these omnis are, and it's okay. It's okay if you don't understand all of it, but step by step, you can learn more and be blessed as you do.
Mm.
The omnis are the foundation, really, of, I think, effective healing. For me, what it's done is taken the focus off me and how much do I know? Do I know enough? Can I do it? Do I have enough spiritual understanding to accept that really it's God doing it? God is the all, the power, the action, the science, the presence, as we said. So it takes the burden off the individual and expands the power of this truth of God's allness. So it's really helped me, because sometimes the practice could be a little bit difficult. One hears all kinds of terrible things, but to know deep down, underneath everything, God's there. That's the only thing that is there. Healing is a very natural thing, because God really is all. And God's universe is expressed everywhere, from the small things to the big things, from the infinitesimal to the infinite. And so all of creation is included in this wonderful sense of omnipresence, God's love, God's care expressed everywhere. And part of that love is a sustaining power. And that makes healing possible and evident in our lives. And that's just really given me a sense of confidence that it's not about me. It's really about God. And to witness God is the greatest privilege I think we can have.
Mm. Well, speaking of privileges, it is always a privilege to get to chat with you two wonderful thinkers. I know that our listeners are so grateful for everything that you've shared today. So thank you so much for being here, Deborah.
What a joy. Thank you.
And thank you, Amy, for being here as well.
Thanks, Jenny. It was a lot of fun.
I've been speaking with Deborah Hipsch, a Christian Science practitioner and teacher from San Juan Capistrano, California, and Amy Richmond, a Christian Science practitioner and teacher from Boston, Massachusetts. Sentinel Watch is a production of the Christian Science Sentinel. I'm Jenny Sawyer. The podcast is produced by Carlos Machado, Sophie Ungerleiter, and our executive producer, Amy Richmond. Our production assistant is Natasha Telshow. Our editor is Ethel Baker. Our audio engineers are Tim Malone, Noel Flatt, Alyssa Britton, and Ian Case. Our theme music is by Jonah Bobo.
This podcast is produced and copyrighted by the Christian Science Publishing Society.